Welcome to See Beneath Your Beautiful, where guests share stories of adversity and perseverance, which inspire, encourage, and challenge us. We embrace these tough conversations, intimately exploring our loves, fears, and hopes with a delicious combination of depth and lightness.
My name is Shauna Stewart, and I'm the founder of Linger Boutique. And we are currently an online intimacy and sexual wellness store. And as of next week, we'll have a retail location in downtown Olympia that we're going to be testing out. So I'm really excited about that. At Linger, we're really committed to normalizing women's pleasure. And we're on a mission to slow it down. We feel like our fast-paced world has really done a disservice to women and our ability to experience and enjoy pleasure. And we want to create a space that's super comfortable, elegant, and is really just designed by women for women to help women feel really good. So we specialize in elevated lingerie, sleepwear, sexual wellness products, and luxury bath and body products as well.
What inspired this?
I was in my dream job. I was working as a CEO for a local nonprofit organization, and it had been a position that I had wanted for a decade and was working towards. And I was fortunate enough to be in that position for about 5 years. But shortly after COVID started, I started getting really sick. And it started off with just a thumb cramp and a patch of hives on my thigh that I thought was really weird because I'd never had either of those symptoms before in my life. And within about 2 weeks, by about 2 o'clock every day, I was crippled on the couch. I couldn't walk to the restroom without my husband's help. I was just in excruciating pain. Anyway, fast forward, I was sick for probably about 6 months. And my list of symptoms just kept getting longer and longer. I say that like you need an old-timey scroll to the doctor's office. And it was just shorter to just say which symptoms I didn't have at that point because there were so many. Anyway, I had to leave my job. I was unable to do my job. My brain capacity, I felt, was like at 10 to 15%. I couldn't lift my kids anymore. We had chosen to homeschool the children and not just like do school at home, the digital version. My sister and I teamed up and we homeschooled our kids together using a more analog homeschool curriculum. And so that was taking a lot of time. And I just like, we got to the point with the illness that I didn't know how much longer I had, frankly. And there were no answers. I was doing all the tests. I went to all the specialists, all the doctors. So many of the doctors kept, like, you could see fear in their eyes, which I feel is unusual. And then they kept saying like, oh, every specialist I went to, they said, we've never seen this indicator this high. We've never seen numbers this high before. I've only seen a number this high or higher one other time. So there's something definitely wrong with my body, but nobody could figure out what it was. And I still don't have answers. And so I kind of took a lot of time and I was researching during that time, a lot of reading in the bathtub or listening to podcasts and so forth. And one of the common denominators that really kind of started bubbling to the top was this idea around stress and how it impacts our bodies. And I don't think necessarily that it was just stress that caused it. There were some underlying health issues, but the stress that was existing in my life at that time certainly wasn't making it possible for my body to actually heal itself and deal with whatever was going on. And so kind of through that, it was like, I was in excruciating pain. Again, my husband was walking me to the restroom. I was having night sweats. My husband had to change me in the middle of the night multiple times during the night because I was having night sweats so bad. And I really kind of started feeling like, okay, if this is it, how do I want to spend the rest of my life? And like, what are the pleasures and what can I find joy in? And so really kind of started focusing in on pleasure and what that meant and how perhaps I had been denying myself that as like a high achiever for my whole life. I've always been super goal oriented. And so kind of my energy and motivation comes from accomplishing goals. And I was always in pursuit of that at the expense of everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I had worked with life and business coaches. So I knew you need to eat well, you need to exercise, you need to do these things. But I think at the end of the day, those became more additional checklist items to do that was creating more stress. And additionally, I think what people don't realize a lot of times is like certain types of exercise can actually create more cortisol in your body, which is releasing again that stress hormone. And I mean, there's so many times like I didn't even know I was stressed. I was just holding it in my body and not knowing it. Anyway, so fast forward, really kind of focusing on pleasure and finding that in different areas of my life, from just gazing out and looking at nature while I was in the bathtub, looking at my kids' smiles and the way they would light up, trying to reconnect with my husband as I started slowly getting better. He had been like by my side as my caretaker for so long, but really wanted to reclaim some of the more intimate parts of our relationship. And we rearranged like our master bedroom and changed the sheeting just to kind of create, like, as the symptoms started resolving, trying to create some kind of visual change to signal I was getting better. A lot of people started asking me like, when are you coming back to work? Or, hey, we've got this project for you, or we think you'd be good at this. And I think consulting was the next logical step many people thought was in my future. And I was at that point, I was just like, nope, I'm homeschooling my kids. I'm retired. I'm just going to like, this is my life now. I'm homeschooling and not really looking for any work. Then summer of last year, my husband and I went out to Walla Walla because his one birthday wish was that he just wanted alone time and a quality time with me. So I planned a whole wine tasting weekend out in Walla Walla, Washington. And we get in the car and about 15 minutes into the ride, I am like livid. And I'm sure he's like immediately regretting this like whole weekend with me, because if you know anything about this area, we have this big interstate corridor. We're in Olympia. And if you go north, you are going through Tacoma and Seattle. But if you go south, you miss all of that. But GPS told him it would be 15 minutes faster to go north, and GPS lied. So I thought I'd done all this work about being like present and easy and peaceful. And like immediately I was just missing our wine tasting. All of our fun is going down the drain. And we were stopped in traffic on Interstate 5. And I was looking around and I was like fantasizing a divorce with my husband, where I was going to get all the assets because the judge is naturally going to side with me, because who turns north on I-5 on a Friday afternoon? Everybody knows that's a mistake.
That's funny.
And then I start looking around and there's like just like kind of cement scape at that particular part of the freeway. And I noticed three like kind of traditional strip mall sex shops. And I just kind of started thinking, I was just like, huh, that's like a lot of expensive real estate. That's a lot of big square footage. That must mean there's a market for it. I've been thinking a lot about pleasure. I would probably like something on the other side of those doors, but the experience of going into those stores just isn't super comfortable for me.
Yeah.
I just have like had become so much more aware of like little stressors, micro stressors, little messages that I pick up on. That whole experience is really geared towards the male pleasure. And even if it's a product for a woman or to be used for a woman or on a woman, it still is marketed and positioned in a way that is still very much geared towards a male's pleasure. And that made me mad. And I felt like we need something that is for women, a space where we can access beautiful lingerie that's made for a woman's comfort and beauty and makes her feel beautiful, not necessarily to impress anybody else. If it does, great, but it doesn't have to. If we turn this whole idea on its head, what could that look like? And so I kind of turned to my husband and said, what if we, you know, did this thing? And then we talked about it all weekend. And within 2 weeks, I had a business license. And that's the long story.
Even if it's for her pleasure, it's still geared toward the man. That just reminded me of this. Really, the only scene I remember from, did you ever watch Third Rock from the Sun with John Lithgow?
Yes, ages ago. Yeah.
He said that he got condoms that were ribbed for her pleasure, but he turned them inside out. It's the only line I remembered, but it was so funny.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you can be so conservative and not so much behind closed doors.
Right. If you're more conservative, I feel like I tend to be more conservative in this area. And I think a lot of people were very surprised when this is what I decided to do next. I still am surprised every day. I just kind of chuckle at myself. I'm like, what is happening? What am I doing? You know, but I also feel like so passionate that it is really important that all people can experience pleasure and that it doesn't have to be weird, taboo, bad. I think we get so many cultural messages and media messages that defines what sex is for us. The vanilla to spice spectrum, we skew vanilla. And I think that there's a lot of people who are on that side of the spectrum who either have felt like sex isn't for them, pleasure isn't for them, and wanting to open that up. When I was doing research early in the business, I found some studies that said 1 out of every 2. So half of women have ever tried a toy at some point in their life.
Wow.
So my wheels were like, well, what about the other half? Why aren't they at least trying it to see if they like it? Probably stigma was a barrier. The shopping experience might be a barrier. And if we took those away and normalized it and made it feel really comfortable, and instead of a place that you go at 10 o'clock at night and hope nobody sees you, it's a place that you can go in the middle of the day with your girlfriends. And instead of fluorescent lights, we have big natural lights and big windows, and we might make you blush, but we won't make you cringe. Just trying to meet a market that hasn't otherwise been served in the sexual wellness industry.
I had posted recently on Facebook, what does sex positivity mean to you? A colleague of mine, not local, wrote, I love sex or something like that. And I was like 4 years old going, ooh, she admitted to liking sex. And I really had to question myself. I like sex. Why is it so shameful to say it out loud on Facebook? What stupid puritanical society have we been living in?
Pleasure in general is not a priority in our culture. It certainly wasn't a priority for me. And that was like my big epiphany. I was 37 at the time. And for the first time in my whole entire life, I realized that it should be enjoyed.
So are you the kind of person who has good china and only uses it once a year?
No, I'm fairly minimalist, fairly functional and so forth. But I think it was more like looking back at my relationship with food and with exercise, and I would either eat too much or not enough or not like be really restrictive or exercise. Like exercise was something to get my body and to look a certain way, not because it actually made me feel good.
Right.
And then, you know, with sex too, I think that like we get, depending on, you know, family of origin or culture or religious background and so forth, we can get all these messages.
Yeah.
And for me, like I was told either by culture or whatever for so long that sex was bad.
Right.
And not to do it. And then you get married and then you're supposed to do, you know, and
that's really interesting though. That is true.
And then enjoy it. And then also I've been in churches where the message from the stage is like, it's your duty as the wife to do this thing. And so you're doing something out of duty, you know, and then that creates, I feel like so much disconnect and stress.
And stress for the man as well, because he doesn't even know how, in some cases, to give pleasure because it hasn't been something he's been required to do.
Right.
Or a desire.
Yeah. In fairness to them, like if we don't know what pleases us.
Yes.
If we don't know, then we can't communicate. And,
right.
And then again, like we see images either in like Hallmark movies or HBO, you know, right. Whatever television we're watching, we see a certain script of how it's supposed to go. And then when it's not happening that way in the bedroom, you're like comparing yourself to some standard that's not really realistic. And I think that that has been the big gift of being sick is being able to slow down. And I think it's just been so important. Like I've even listened to like on that trip to Walla Walla, we were listening to a marriage book on Audible, and one of the things that they were advocating for, and it wasn't the first time I'd heard this, was like, you should be able to both know how to make each other orgasm in 5 minutes or less, because that might be the only time you have. And so it's just like, okay, so the point of sex is orgasm. and it must happen fast. And
yeah, that's weird.
And it's more about like getting it done a certain amount of times a week.
Yeah.
That's not actually how women's bodies work. We need a lot more time to be able to get to an orgasm. And also it kind of negates just the connection piece and intimacy piece.
Right.
I think that we're living in a culture right now where we are, you know, so divided and we're all craving intimacy and connection and a sense of feeling known. And to feel known, we have to know ourselves and have time to share that with somebody else and explore it with somebody else. And I just think that the quickie culture is not serving us very well at all.
So this conference I just went to was in Utah, and a few of the people were from there. And one girl was saying in public school, as a young girl, to teach abstinence in home ec or whatever, baked bread and tasted it and it was delicious. And then they had them spit on it and put gum on it and to show how disgusting it was once it's been used, once you've had sex is what the point was. And somebody else had also been to public school and also had the same lesson. The messages we are bombarded with, you know, once they've had sex, now they're ruined. They're going to think, you know, for the rest of their lives. That is the craziest message I've ever heard. I couldn't believe that was in public school.
Yeah. It's so heartbreaking. And we get that in so many ways, maybe not as directly as that, but that just like my heart is just shattering listening to that.
So, well, thank you for teaching us new lessons. What do you think about your kids thinking about that? Because I have two grown daughters who do not want to discuss sex with me.
Yeah.
Which is fair, but also I wish it was normal.
Fortunately, my kids they're homeschooled, so they're not getting a lot of negative messages from outside in terms of saying that sex is bad or whatever. Mm-hmm. My son thinks it's hilarious that I'm selling underwear.
That's funny.
He's seen the toys and asked questions about them, and he calls them now toilet toys.
That's what he associates. Yeah.
Trying to be as open and factual with him and showing him that respect while also keeping it age appropriate for him. So he doesn't necessarily understand like the idea of an orgasm or sex or things like that. But, you know, he's seen the products and he's just like, what does this do? And well, it vibrates.
That's good. That's really good.
We've been an online store and we've done a number of pop-ups. They've come to all of my shops. They've come and help set things up. I just don't make a big deal about it. Not saying that it's bad or cover your eyes.
Exactly. That's the whole thing is even at this age, the girl said she loves sex. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. So the only images of women we've had are like our models and in our lingerie and sleepwear. We use real women, real moms, community members, teachers, nurses, doctors.
That's good.
All sorts of people have showed up and kind of wanting to do it for different reasons, but have felt super empowered doing it. It's not weird unless you make it weird. So we're just not making it weird. Our tagline is, in a world of fast, we like it slow. And so it's kind of a brand statement, and it's also an accountability statement to me. Mm-hmm. And so I know that like when I start feeling like I'm on a hamster wheel or I'm racing or I'm trying to accomplish something or hit a goal for the sake of hitting a goal, I need to pause and step back. We're just taking our time growing the business slowly and at a pace that works for my family, for my partner's family, that works for our community and so forth. And so that's been really nice. I've designed my life rather than like around checklists, though I still love a good checklist. That'll never go away. I'm listening to my body more. I'm really mindful and appreciative of things that do bring me joy, really enjoying like the sensation of my sheets and my weighted blanket and
same,
like a little bedroom spray and like getting my music and my, you know, candle or whatever it is for that night. Just not taking the sleep piece for granted. To rest is so important. That's actually one of the things my daughter's been keeps reminding me. She's 5. She's at kind of a kindergarten level. And there's times where she'll like feel a little cranky and she'll just like get up and she'll just go lay down.
Smart.
in the middle of the date, I'm like, huh.
Right.
Girl, you've got life figured out. And then she comes back and she's great. And she can just power through the rest of her work.
That's so smart. When you first said that we don't take pleasure seriously, the first thing I thought of was, yeah, we don't get siestas like the rest of the world.
Or long 3-hour meals.
They take pleasure very seriously.
Yes. I do get men who will ask, like, but how can I make her happy? Like, they genuinely, the good, like, I don't want to pick on men because they're suffering from the culture as well.
And doing these interviews, I have to say also that even not just interviews, women I have come into contact with are all ends of the spectrum as well. Some women are totally all about their pleasure, know what pleases them, are not afraid or embarrassed, don't let culture dictate anything, have multiple partners and are okay with that. We don't know what we don't know.
Right. Everybody likes different things. Don't yuck somebody else's yum.
Right. I like that one.
Everybody's going to like something a little bit different.
You can like it all these different ways, just like your coffee drink. Whatever brings you pleasure is okay.
And you're going to have to try a few different things to be able to figure out what you like.
Right. My sister was here and she just got a macchiato and I'd never even had one before. And I was like, how have I been missing this? It's better than a sundae. Just wasn't my drink and I'd never tried it. So see, you got to try new things. Well, this has been really informative and very pleasurable, and I'm sure you're going to do great. And I don't know about your partner, but you're very warm and approachable, and it's not weird to talk to you about it. So that's really great.
Oh, thanks. My promise is, because so many of my customers are other teachers, doctors, like community leaders, that we can all look each other in the eye next time we see each other at the grocery store or the coffee shop. And it's not weird. It is very normal. Everything becomes normal. So it becomes safer. So we can relax actually into it. We have to feel safe for our bodies to be able to relax, to actually be able to enjoy pleasure. And that takes time.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of See Beneath Your Beautiful, hosted by Hara Allison. And thanks for your ratings and reviews. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Stay tuned.